Esther 6. So I suggested on Esther 5 that Esther had got stage fright, that she lost her nerve when she came in before the king, despite having not been invited, and he said, yeah, what do you want? I'll give you anything. And she says, can you please come to a banquet tonight? He hasn't called for her for 30 days, and he agrees. And after he's been plied with wine, he asks her again, so what do you want, dear? And what is your request and your petition? And we've got our hearts in our mouths waiting for her to come out with it. And I suggest that she was not the clever, scheming female amateur psychologist. She simply got stage fright. She was like you and me. She was weak. And she was probably only a teenager. You know, she was married as a virgin. Girls got married very young in those days. She was way out of her depth here. And she just says, oh, can you come tomorrow? And he agrees. And it's that night that goes between the two banquets, when the king can't sleep, as we're going to read now. And I have said often that the book of Esther has no reference to the word God or Lord at all. But in the Hebrew text, there are places where the verses have some sort of pattern using the letters YHVH, maybe at the beginning of words or at the end of words or the beginning of a verse, beginning of each verse or whatever, so that the name of Yahweh is spelt as an acrostic. And throughout chapter 6, more than anywhere else, you get this. Because clearly the glory of Yahweh, the God of Israel, was in all this. He couldn't sleep, so he gets his diary read to him. Oh, I never rewarded Mordecai for saving my life from Bigthana and Tudash. Ah, yeah, I must reward him. So he's absolutely now psychologically set up by God to be positive to Esther's request. And he's going to be pretty angry with any idea that Mordecai actually must be killed, along with Esther, his adopted daughter. So, you see here the mixture of human weakness, human desire to all the same go ahead in faith, as Esther clearly had. Prayer, although it's not said it was prayer, it's called fasting, but it clearly was prayer. Throwing themselves upon God's grace when God had said, you shall go into captivity and I will not show you mercy there, I will not show you favor there. We saw that in a previous study. And yet she comes to the king and says, please, can you show me favor? So she throws herself on grace. And then there is this higher hand, whereby the king can't sleep and he gets his diary read and he thinks, oh yeah, I must reward Mordecai for this. So Mordecai comes into the outer court of the king's house to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai. And the king in the morning says, right, who's in the court? We need someone to do this glorification of Mordecai. So, oh, Haman, you're here. Okay. What do you think should be done to the man whom the king delights to honor? And he comes out with this thing about glorifying him with the royal clothing, etc. In other words, implying that when you're dead, this person will be the next king. And Haman said in his heart, and again we notice how God judges the heart and how self-talk is a major theme of the Bible. It really is a major theme because the essence of true faith is spiritual mindedness and to be humble. And this is the great lesson here that he says in his heart, who would the king delight to honor more than myself? So, it's all a great reversal of fortunes. And the way that the king talks to Haman about glorifying Mordecai the Jew, I think the king is aware now of what's going on. Do this, the king says, for Mordecai the Jew. I guess it was written in the Chronicles that Mordecai was a Jew. So the king is also, I think, being nudged towards realizing the trap of legalism. But he's made one commandment, and now he wants to have another of his laws obeyed to glorify Mordecai, the Jew. And yet his other commandment, his other law had said Mordecai's got to be killed. So this is a trouble with legalism, and that is another theme, I think, of Esther and the way that she is used to achieve this great salvation against the law. Just all looking forward to the saving work of Jesus in our lives, which, again, has to be outside or even against the law. The wages of sin is death, and yet we shall live eternally. So Mordecai hurries to his house, and then he is hurried back to the banquet in the evening, just as Haman had hurried the messengers carrying his decree to kill the Jews. Another theme of Esther, I think, of the book of Esther, is to develop the idea of the utter bankruptcy of Persian-Babylonian customs. I mean, his wise men now come to him and say, you're not going to prevail against Mordecai now. If he's one of the Jews, you will surely fall before him. But these are the very wise men who had drawn lots in order to choose the day of the massacre. And suddenly their wisdom is revealed as folly and just opportunism. And so it is really that all human wisdom is ultimately foolishness before God. And we are taught that and have to believe that time and again in our lives.